Well, let's go into the word this morning. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and repeat that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. First, Mark 16. What series are we looking at? Concerning spirituals, Mark 16. Mark 16, look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? They shall cast out devils, and they shall what? Speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, what are the attributes of those who believe? Number one, they shall what? Cast the devils. Number two, they shall what? Speak with new tongues. Right? Last week, we started looking at the concept of new tongues, and we said the word there new is the word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S. And we said that word is a word that, you know, speaks about that which is uncommon. Paul uses that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We saw that last week. Galatians 6:15, Ephesians 2:15. The new man, the new creation, we said is a species that never existed. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Right? Now, we looked into Acts chapter 2, when the Bible says that, and the day of Pentecost fully come, and they began to speak in other tongues. Now, we said the word other tongues there is a word that is used to speak about the new tongues. And we said the tongues there is not an evolution of a language, right? It's not an evolution of a language. That word there, other, in Acts 2 is the word itros, right? It's one not of the same nature, something that is different. It's different from the normal. Now, we said the new tongues for the believer, right, is a language of the Spirit, right, that the believer has because they believed in the message of the resurrection. So Jesus says, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall what? They shall speak with new tongues. Now, the concept of new tongues, like we said again on last week's Sunday, was is something that is unique to the believer. So we said that anyone who speaks in a language that you call tongues, and it sounds like tongues, but it is not, a person is not a believer, it is not tongues. Are we together? Because tongues is given by the utterance of the Spirit and is spoken by those who are born again, those who are believers, right? Those who are righteous, those who are redeemed, right? Yeah. Can someone mimic tongues? Can tongues be mimicked? Yeah, tongues can be mimicked, right? Yeah. But what validates tongues and makes tongues tongues is not what is said, how it is said, it is who is saying it. Right? Because it is unique to those who believe. Right? And tongues, we said, is a language that the believer receives. Right? Yeah, you know, what is language? A means of communicating. When a people want to identify themselves, one of the things they do is identify themselves using what? A language, a way of communicating. Right? And now, it's very interesting to see a lot of people who have different theologies and ideologies about the concept of tongues. Now, we said over time, so people don't speak in tongues today because they have scriptures to back it up. For instance, Matthew's gospel that will say, "Do not." The only sin that is unpardonable is the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And we said blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not as much saying something negative to the Holy Ghost. It's actually about rejecting the workings or the work of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God in the believer is what makes a man, or the Spirit of God in a man is what makes a man a believer, right? The Holy Ghost in a man is what makes a man righteous. The Holy Ghost in a man is what makes a man sanctified, right? And the Holy Ghost in a man is what makes a man's sins to be forgiven. And once your sins cannot be forgiven, the only reason your sins cannot be forgiven, rather, is if you reject the work of the one who forgives sins. That is the work of the Holy Ghost, right? So blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not about tongues, not about speaking in tongues and the like. It's about what? Rejecting the sacrifice, the work of the Holy Ghost. Similar to what Paul in Hebrews, in the author of Hebrews, will say. He says, if you sin willfully, right? Yeah, there remaineth no more sacrifice. So if you sin willfully, we did a series on that, I think 2021, actually. I think I'll touch it again this year, right? Where we're explaining Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. Right? That's one of the scriptures where people, you know, used to fight against eternal salvation and the likes. Right? But one of the things you find out there is that what the concept that evil is teaching is that the rejecting of the work of the Spirit. Right? So if you reject the work of the Spirit, there is no remedy. Amen? Amen. There is no remedy. There is no remedy. Praise God forevermore. Right? Now, we said Paul will now say in 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spirituals, I will not have you to be what?
Ignorance.
Now, we said the word ignorance can be used as the word willfully what? Reject. Is that correct? Yeah? That means knowledge is given to you, you willfully turn against it. Right? Knowledge is made available to you, but you choose to remain in the dark. So imagine you are in a room and the room opposite to your room has light, but the room you are in is full of darkness, and you choose to remain in the room that is full of darkness, right? And choose not to go to the room full of light. That is willful rejecting. So we look through all of that. Now, we ended last week in Acts 2, if you remember. Do you remember? Look at Acts 2. We started explaining what was happening in Acts 2. Now, people believe that tongues is the language of another community. I've never seen anything more brilliant than that. Amen? Amen? I've never seen any theology more brilliant than that. That tongues is the language of another. So it means that if you are English, there's every tendency that when you speak in tongues, you are speaking Swahili. Yeah? If you are French, there's every tendency you are speaking Italian. Right? Or you are speaking Spanish. Right? Yeah? And Acts 2 is one of the places where people go to. Now, let's read Acts 2 verse 1. Let's run through it and let's just get to deduce certain things from Acts 2 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost verse 1 was fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing what? Mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were what? Sitting. And there appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the... They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with other tongues. So who began to speak? The Holy Ghost or them? Them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, but they began to speak. Right? They began to speak with what? Other tongues. That's the word etheros, like we said earlier on. As the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jew, devout men, out of every nation under the heavens. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own what? Language. Now, interesting. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another. Now, for them to be saying one to another, it means there was a uniform language. Are we together? You can only say to another if the person can interpret you. Or interpret what you are saying. So they were saying one to another means there was a common language amongst them. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Pythians, Medes, Elamites, you know, and all the likes. Then look to verse 11, Crete and Arabian. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, the question you can have on your mind is, why did the author of Acts, Luke, mention those cities and those nations and those countries? Why? It's simple. What was happening was day of Pentecost. Is that correct? Acts 1, Acts 2, 1. The day of Pentecost was fully come. So it was a universal, acclaimed, unknown celebration. Is that correct? Yeah? How many of you know about what you call the Edinburgh Fringe? Yeah? I heard it's the biggest in the world. The biggest festival in the world. Are we together? Yeah. I heard it's the biggest festival in the world. It happens every August. Right? Now, everybody ideally, right, knows about the Edinburgh Fringe. Right? When we go there, there's a fundamental language that will be spoken there. What is it? English. So if we go to Edinburgh Fringe, for instance, we see something happening in a room. You know, I can talk to you and say, what does that mean? Because we understand one language, English. But it is that you came from Kenya. You came from Somalia. You came from Argentina. You came from Sudan. Are we together? Right? Then you came from Germany. You came from Italy. Right? Then we all came from different parts of the world, but we have one common language, what? English. So we came to the day of Pentecost, that is, we came to the day of Edinburgh Fringe, and we saw an activity happening. Then we're asking ourselves, what does it mean? So when Brother Luke records what happens, what will he say? He will say people came from Kenya, people came from Somalia, people came from Sudan, people came from Germany, people came from Italy, and they were asking one another, what does this mean? Look at it again. He says, we hear every man in our own tongue when we're born. Right? He says, we hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful what? works of God. That means English was present at Edinburgh Fringe. Is that correct? Was there English in the award? Trick question. It's not trick question, no. Was there English in the book of Acts? English is a newer language, is that correct? Yeah? So it means that they had their language that we call English today. That was what they could communicate with. Are we together? Right? Now, how do you know there was more than one language there? See their conclusion, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others were saying, these men are full of new wine. Are we together? You cannot, think about it. Yeah? If you go for a show, right, during the Edinburgh Fringe, there are certain things you will see that will not, that will make you realize that this is a drunken man. You know, my wife and I went for one of those shows, a magic show. I think that was 2 or 3 years ago. And I love magic shows. You know why? Because, do you know why? I love magic shows because you cannot magic me. I must try to find out where are you coming from. I must explain it. No. You can't just wind me like that. I must explain it. I've studied magic so well. It's joko before you come and bring magic for me now. But what I'm saying is I've watched a lot of magic. There are lots of magical things. Thank God for Jesus, right? But there are lots of magical. So I've followed world-renowned magicians and gotten access to some of their very private materials with explanations. Just leave it there. Eh? Yeah? I've gone as far as going to study world-known magic. I remember there was one day in school. One day, one guy in school, I think I was my second year or my third year, they brought one magician like that. They put all of us. That was the day my mind said, you cannot trick me. Yeah? They put all of us together. They arranged that chair in Alpha Begrel Hall at that time. Right? And the guy, were you there? Yeah. Okay, you were there. That was the initiation of magic and trying to find out about magic. Yeah, that was like 2014 or 2015. Yeah? 2013 or 2014, actually. Right? And the guy will hold the card. He will do like this. The card will go behind somebody. I say, no. It cannot go behind anybody. Let's watch what is happening here. So I still have the guy's number to today. I followed up with him. I tried to go do a lot of research, trying to find a lot of things. And I found out that magic is just an illusion. Right? Magic is what they want to make you believe. I want to get that. So anyways, what I'm saying is, if you go to a magic show, right, if you just see somebody acting normal, you will not attribute his acting with wine or drunkenness. There's a way he has to behave or she has to behave before you say, is this guy not drunk? So if that was what was happening in Acts 2, so let's assume Acts 2 is Edinburgh Fringe, right? Yeah, the only reason why you can say this guy is acting drunk is because there's a way they are behaving. Now, if you already affirmed that they were hearing the wonderful works of God, it means there was a uniform language that was spoken in that room. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If you go into a meeting and you say, I'm hearing them talk about how great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Oh, they're talking about great. God is great. And without switching my tongue, in the same breath, I'm saying these people are drunk. But I'm saying they are saying God is great. It is only to show that there are two languages in operation in that room. There is the language that their mind could understand, and there is the one that felt foolish to them. Are we together? So it felt foolish to them. They saw it and they said, why are you acting like you are mocked? So they said some people were mocking. You can't go into a show where it's only English that is spoken and you start mocking what they are doing there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Whatever you would mock has to be something that beats the normal. Yeah, you have a lot of questions on your mind. So the Bible says that others were mocking, right? And they were all amazed and they were saying one to another, what does this mean? Right? Verse 11 says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Altogether. Verse 8 says, how hear we every man in our own tongue? Verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled. These guys who speak are Galileans. Verse 6 says, when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. So two languages were in operation. They were not mocking the language they understood. They were mocking the language they did not understand. Are you following today? Right? Now, how do you know again that it was a common language? Verse 13 says, but Peter standing up with the interpreters. Is that your Bible? But Peter standing up with the interpreters. Is that your Bible? But Peter standing up with the 11. So Peter and the 11 spoke one language. Peter and the 11 stood up with one language to speak one language to the people. What did Peter begin to say? He says, he lifted up his voice. They did not say somebody else echoed his voice. He lifted or interpreted his words. The Bible says he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell where? At Jerusalem. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell. So, Edinburgh Fringe will be combination of those who dwell in Edinburgh. Edinburgh. For some reason, the thing twisted my tongue this morning. What was it pronounced? Hey, how did I miss it? I said Edinburgh. Someone said Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Sorry, right? So, what was I saying? Assuming it's a fringe festival in Acts 2, right? The combination of people The combination of people that will be there will be those that dwell in Edinburgh. Is that correct? And those that will travel out of what? Or travel out from Edinburgh into. So Peter will stand up right now and he will say, ye men of Edinburgh and those that dwell in where? Yeah? Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. So it means what was happening there was the Holy Ghost at work. Are we together? Yeah? Acts chapter 2 is a proof to show you that sometimes when the Holy Ghost is at work, the place will be looking disrupted. Are we together? The place will look disrupted. Right? That means there are actions that can happen based on the promptings and acting of the Holy Ghost that might be alluded to drunkenness. Are we together? Now, we said last week that a believer can be in a room and be mocking the things of the Spirit. I've never seen the people when they come to church for the first time. Maybe we are rejoicing. Maybe asking them, oh, rejoice. The only thing that is, they're covering their face, they're laughing. Yeah? And they're asking. There's some believers, they say, no, Pastor, no, I'm always very comported. It's not true. Are we together? Yeah? And these same people are the ones that if you see them when they are watching their football team, when you shout, go, you will see their voice. In fact, after the football match, they say, those, when it comes to church, right? Use your voice. No. You know, the church is a very solemn place. It's just a place where we come together. You know, I've been saying to leaders very recently in all our weekly meetings, I've been saying, we don't compare our church with another church. We compare our church with the Word. Are we together? Yeah? We compare our church with the Word. Are we together? Right? You know, so when you start having, in my former church where I used to come from, we just used to sing. I like the fact that we just have very solemn meetings. You know, I remember a friend of mine, right? I was preaching to her at work. We're working together in Nigeria, right? So I was preaching to her one day and everything. She was like, oh, you're so put together, your calculator and everything. He said, I like the way you preach, right? And I don't like when ministers raise their voice. I say, you don't know who you are talking to. Is it in the office? I'll be talking to you and raising my voice. Yeah? Right? So, when I wanted to give her our teachings to listen, I went to go and look for the one that is calm. You understand? So that she can start from there. All right? Yeah? But don't be deceived. Sometimes it gets to you. I'm trying to say some people, because they hear someone say they don't like people raising their voice, they want to start changing how they talk. All together. Yeah, I just like the way he talks. You know, and people are so naughty. There's a minister who started making wave a couple of weeks ago. You know, and I see the things, some of the things he says, and I'm like, those are the same things a lot of people say to their members that members leave their church. Do you understand? These are the same thing, the same words, the same choice of words. Oh, you just realize people are troublesome. People are just naughty. The same word, like. A lot of his videos I see are full of a lot of very stern rebukes. The last day event warner prophet is a very full of warnings. Like, people just, I understand people have an ego to protect. So they always want you to say, right? Like, now, if you're not careful as a pastor, you too, you're not going to start reducing your tone. You don't know that the people that God gave you to pastor, they're not the people that God gave you to pastor. You know, there are some people you say, you know, there's in this church, yeah, there are people who, if you say, sister, don't do that again. Brother, don't do that again. That's enough. But as some other people, you have to say, brother, if you dare. See what I'm trying to say? You must understand the dynamics. So I'm trying to say, we don't compare our church with other churches. We compare our church with the word. There is no how Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you. Remember to say, oh, if that's how Paul spoke, oh. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians. He now later goes to another parent and says, are you so foolish? He didn't even allow three verses to go past. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not saying you should be harsh and rash and all those kind of things, but the truth is that you must learn to see how you stay close to the word. Do you see it in the word? Stay with it. All together. So other people, what they like is when they use plenty English to communicate Jesus is Lord. Right? And from the epitome of the crux of the cross, right through to the valley down below. What is valley down below? Can valley be up before? Which one is valley down below? Yeah, down to the valley, to the deepest part of the valley, where it looks like all red, a shadow. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has what that type is in the Bible. Are we together? Every type, you must ensure that you are as close to the Bible, not close to another local church. Now, our local church is there to give us examples and models. Oh, yes, there are models and examples you see from people who have gone ahead of you and the likes. But you must always remember, we don't do things solely because another church is doing it. I was speaking to somebody last week, this week actually, right? And the person was asking me a question and he was saying, how have you managed to maintain a lot of simplicity as a minister? When I mean simplicity, without having to do a lot of the necessary preparations. I'm like, for me, it has never been a thing that should be found with a minister, particularly on matters regarding the church. What am I trying to talk about? When you start seeing people snapping people from the front of, how can you dedicate a team in the church to come and snap people at car park? You dedicate a team of members in church, to go and snap people when they're dropping from their car. You see somebody with the leg is touching the floor. Do they just do check them? Like, do you understand? And you come and adjust your jacket. Praise and worship is almost finished, you know. People are still at the car park snapping you. Right? Yeah? You know, and I always say it this way. It's from dance. It's from clap. You enter what? Dance. It starts from snapping at the corridor. Soon, they will take it outside. Just what I'm trying to say. Yeah? In Nigeria church, we have what do you call those things we used to write? Those things we used to paste at the entrance. You are you are welcome home, welcome all those kind of things. We are God's palace. What do we do with it? We nail it on the wall. You know what I'm trying to say? We nail you are welcome home on the wall. If you lie, don't read it. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say some people dedicate an entire team to be holding placard, you are welcome home, throughout the service outside the church. I wish they had earphones to be able to follow the service. That's different. But your work in that meeting that day is to say, you look beautiful. Someone that, you look gorgeous. Why are you lying to people? No, but not everybody comes to church looks gorgeous. No. See, we need to accept and get to a point where we must admit that not everybody will come to church will look gorgeous. You don't have to lie to people. Let's even assume you want people to say they are called. At least nail it on the wall. Buy wood. Nail it on. Let them read it and walk into church. But no, we have to create an entire... And I said to him, I said, we have a lot of people trying to build a brand, not the name of Jesus. It's a brand. Some even have a media team. You know, sometimes, I thank God, anyways, some people have a media team that comes to meet their pastor in the house in the morning. A media team comes to, imagine, you know how far I live. Imagine your work every Sunday. Sabata said, you will not see me. Imagine your work every Sunday is to come to the front of my house with camera. And as I step down from my staircase, you do check camp. And as I'm walking out of my door every Sunday, somebody says, yeah, see you, don't miss today's service. You're already even running late for service. Tell me, let me ask you, who watches that video and wants to run to church? You're doing a video probably 5 minutes before the service starts. See you in church. Who is it for? Okay, it's for next week content. Let me say that there are lots of things that if you're not careful, you will just get yourself majoring on minor and minoring on major. Are we together? Yeah? So if you use branded Christianity to get it, think about it this morning. I saw every one of you here minister today. And I can tell you for free, yeah, I make my boast in Christ Jesus. All of you here, in your few months of being in church, you grew better in the things of the Spirit. There are some of you, when you came here, when they say you should minister, you know yourselves now. When they say you should minister, you just close your eyes. You are the only one that is always hearing what others are saying. God doesn't speak through you. If pastor say, talk, you must say something. Say, I see the peace. This week you see peace. Next week you see peace. The peace of God envelopes your heart. Right? Today you say peace of God envelopes your heart. Then you say the peace of God wraps your heart. Right? Eventually. But what do you see? You see that there's been a lot of progress in your ministration. That's what a local church should do for you. Yeah? You know as well, it has also helped you in how you even relate to people outside of work. Outside of church, in your home front. Some of you, when you came here, that was the first time you ever stopped somebody on the road to say, Jesus loves you. Are we together? Some of us, it is when we first came. You know, those are the kind of testimony you should brag about. And you also know, the so-called material things as well that people are focusing and majoring on, doesn't not stay up here. It doesn't. Okay, there's no receipt. You don't have evidence. No evidence. You are still explaining. You explain. No evidence. Yeah? You know, it's very funny how our world is so result-driven. Results. See, if you're a businessman, let me tell you, a businesswoman, you need to ensure that you are allowed on results. Amen. You are allowed on results. Yeah? Because this generation... You can't use the tactics of ministry to do business. You know what I'm trying to say? You have to be loud. And that's where there's always a very, very thin line in knowing yourself as a content creator, a celebrity, as it were, and also a minister of the gospel. You know, you as a minister should reflect every other thing. Every other thing should revolve around you as a minister. You must always remember you're a minister. But people always want results. It's as basic as even coaching. If I coach you and I coach 500 people and none of them gives me evidence or report of, oh, good coaching session. Who am I advising? Who will come next week? His new members. You get what I'm trying to say? But it has to be, yeah? Imagine I coach Sister Vivian. He said, having a session with YBJ Spark, right? It took me from the world of unknown to knowledge. I was wrapped in ignorance. Now I've unveiled revelation. Yeah? Eventually, what do? I snap it at what? Post it. That's what? Results. You get what I'm trying to say? But when it comes to ministry, the evidence and result we should stay within must be within the confines of the word. Are you growing spiritually? Not are you growing in numbers? Growing in numbers is beautiful. It is lovely. It is great. We ought to grow in numbers. If we are doing the work of ministry, we ought to grow in numbers. But I was saying to that brother over the week, I said, there is the fast path, there's the highway, and there's a slow path, the slow burn. All together. You would rather go the pace of Jesus. You would rather go the pace of the word and stay there and maintain that posture all through as much as possible. So back to what I was saying about Acts 2, right? What was happening in Acts 2? Holy Ghost expressions. So it means in our meetings, if we have a disrupted meeting, who are we closer to? Not your former church, not your future church, but the Bible. Get the point? We are closer to God's word if we have a disruption. Acts 4 will tell you that we were praying and the place was shaking. You know what it means to pray and the place was shaking? Somebody say it's canopy. Go and pray, let canopy shake. Some people are just so naughty. Somebody say it's canopy, that's why it was shaking. It's common logic. What are you saying? Have you not seen canopy where 500 people are there and nothing is moving? You say it's canopy. People, you know, when the devil wants to play with you, he has a way of what? Knowing how to just make you sound very wise. It makes you sound very intelligent. It's stupidly intelligent. That's the word. He said it. Yeah? You just sound very stupid. I echoed what you said. I did not say it to you. I re-echoed what you said. Yeah? You started saying, no. The place was shaking because it's common logic. Okay, where have you been that was shaking? Yeah, just like that brother say Jesus was crying, and the cry was when he says like droplet of blood. He says his figure of speech. Okay, do your own prayer in a way that we can see droplets of blood. Eh? Do your own prayer. Let's say, and Sister Esther wept, and sweat dropped from her body like the blood from. Yeah, do your own prayer. Let's say it with figure of speech. So I'm trying to say, if you pray in a way that somebody can say you look stupid, you are closer to the Bible, not any church. Are you with me? Yeah? If you have a Holy Ghost meeting and you give tongues and interpretation and somebody says you are drunk, you are closer to the Bible. Derive satisfaction with that than close to the word. All this showmanship and this showbiz is not anywhere in the Bible. If you want to build a company, build a company. If you want to build an organization with all the, you know, tricks and gimmicks of this world, Like I would always say, whatever you use to attract people is what you have to use to keep them. That's why as a church, there's no pressure. If you come, you say our tongues is too much. What do? Go to where they don't use their tongue. Okay, you didn't get it. Go to where they don't use their tongue. We're okay with tongues here. Yeah, I don't like it when somebody will come and be telling me that, hey, you know, I see you're trying to make a decision. I don't like it when somebody go to where they don't make decision. Just go to where they will just go. You just praise and sing song, right? And just go back home. Everybody has, the point is, where you are you closer to God's word? Or let me say it differently. Are you closer to God's word or you are closer to your ego? All together. Are you closer to God's word or you are closer to your ego? Are you closer to God's word? Are you closer to your ego? Right? Yeah? May that never happen in this local church where a minister comes here to minister, for instance, and bless her with his life. And the first thing you do is to bring out your phone. How did we get there? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Somebody comes to minister in any form, and the first thing you do is try to snap picture. Yeah, I watched the minister do, you know, he said something yesterday. As soon as they got on stage, people started bringing out their phone and he said, no, lift up your hands, not your phone. I said, that's how it should be. Yeah, and before you know, everybody will just have lights. That's a new thing now. Yeah, they were off the whole light of the whole room and they said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everybody will bring in phone now. I'm trying to show that what is that the light that the Bible says should shine? Because the Bible says, this little light of mine. Okay, the song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What is that song supposed to mean? Be a light in darkness in the world. Not that you are a darkness in the midst of darkness, you are shining phone. They cannot separate you from darkness, you are shining phone. Yeah? Ladies and gentlemen, with a standing and rising ovation, we want to bring to the stage, minister, so. Everybody brings out their phone. Yeah, everybody brings out tripod. We're together. No, that's not what the church is for. The church is a sacred place where the things of the Spirit should be given full expression. A friend of mine was complaining that you people, you media and you media team, why are you always snapping us when we are crying? The brother now says sometimes when he's in church, he wants to cry. He has to maintain his teeth. You're going to go and paste you with your nose looking like one way. Moses, that's no my friend that said it. You media team, let people worship their father in the church. Let people serve Jesus. Not that, because media team, the way they are so trained, once they see your eye, they already know when you're about to cry. Once they start seeing your eye getting wet, they just come, they'll be looking as if they don't know what they are doing. No? They've already put the hand on the button. Once you just allow the water, just check them. Sister Esther. Where are you? They will just position themselves like this. Once you just start seeing tears, that's coming. They just cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. You now, you stop worshiping. What did they capture now? You know, you are not a media team. You are not a media team to confirm. Please don't post this one. Because media team will only post the one they are good in. And you too. You go and take your picture there. There was a lady that was complaining recently. She was saying that she has been in the church for 1 year and they've not posted a picture online. Have you ever talked about those things before? You don't always talk about that. People complain about those things. You don't always talk about it. That's why I always tell media. Any day you are snapping, please just make sure everybody... Some days we don't post only because I realize some places are not here. Somebody went online, went to go and do a paper video. Said, I've been attending this church for 1 year and my picture has never been on your Instagram page. Who did I offend? And you know, it is most likely a mistake or a coincidence. An oversight, that's the word. Oversight, that's the word. Oversight. People take that in intense. People take that in intense. Altogether, right? So how should our church look close to the word? Say our local church must be close to God's word. So a church is not far as long as it is close to the epistles. Did you know what I just said?
Yes, sir.
A church is not far as long as it is close to the epistles. Altogether. Because when your children want to get medication in the hospital, you don't look for the closest hospital that would mistreat them. Look for the best hospital, no matter how far it is. I remember when my dad had, you know, he was in church and ministering and slummed. The first hospital we took him to was not the closest hospital. We drove past several hospitals. But there was one we were going to. Why? Because we trusted the one we were what? Going to. So it means that when you need something, you go out of your way to make sure that what? You get it. So it's the same thing with local church. You don't pick a local church because it is close to how you think you want to dance. You know, that's how people... Some people have come here. A brother came here the other time, right? And was saying our music is not really top-notch and everything. And I said, okay, bless your heart. Yeah? Bless your heart. Yeah, another brother was here. He was playing drum at one point, right? Yeah? You know, blessed are you, for instance, when you're in a local church where you have a brother who is on the drums and he can leave the drum, drop his stick, and minister to you by word of knowledge. What else should you look for in a church? But now, what do we have? Our drummers and our keyboardists, they are all for showbiz. Is the pastoring that I blame? Because the pastors also comment on those videos. And you, some instrumentalists right now, they go to church with, their kit they go to church with, is more than what the entire choir team is using. Because there are three types of tripod. V-angle, 360, 280. And they set the three cameras around them on their drums. And there's a name they call it. What's the name they call all this kind of... something calm or something like that. Eh? Something calm. Right? And before you know it, they will do sound check. Before you know it, they will do it. Before you know it, they will cut. Service, their pastor has excepts. They too, they have excepts. Yeah? They have excepts on praise and worship. And then I say, go and watch the full video on our YouTube channel. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's pathetic. Let me tell you, if you do that for your rehearsal time, that's okay. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If you do that for your rehearsal time, that's beautiful. But for Sunday service, you see them carrying, some people go to church right now as drummers with a rolling bag. That God has no moss. Yeah? Trolley, and what do you call that kind of bag? Box with tire. And they'll be rolling it. And they'll go, when they get to their stage, they'll first sit down. They'll first bring out five different kinds of stick. They'll start videoing it. When they now say, they'll now wear headset, now wear all those headset. Actually, where did this start from? It started from instrumentalists wanting to hear themselves in service. In-ear monitor. Yeah? Right. 2-4, 2-4, 2-4. Dun, dun. Now, we're going to switch now. Yeah? Are you with me? Let's go. Intro. Fire. Dun, 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 dun. Keep them. You understand? Yeah? You see, how do I know it? I'm online. It's when I finished watching, I realized it was live Sunday service. Yeah? But you can never see me interact with those videos. Because I'm encouraging it. You know, what makes them do it this Sunday and do it next Sunday? Likes. Likes. And they share. Are you with me? Please. Your local church should be closer to the epistles. Closer to God's word. The things in the book of Acts, do you see them in your local church? This is the question you always ask yourself. Do you see them in local church? And you know, there's this appetite, right? I'm going to close right now. There's this appetite that we have that is appetite of the flesh. One lady left church the other time. I think she left Nigeria, Abuja church. So she went to Lagos and she was telling me, you know, pastor, there are churches here. What church do you want me to attend? What church should I attend? You know, this life, you can't satisfy everybody. There's a brother who started going around to fight me. that his problem he had with me was that when he left Gospel Palace Nigeria, I didn't ask him what church is attending in his new country. There are other people as well who will fight and say that pastor wants me to attend this church by force in my new country. Who will you satisfy? Anyways, I don't have the practice of it. I've never told anybody, I've never in my life told anybody to go attend any church when you leave Gospel Palace. I believe that if you stay here for 3 months, 6 months, there are days like this when I will teach how you should know a good local church. Anything that makes you go and go to any church there is where your heart is. They follow you. That sister came and started telling me what church. I said, I don't know so many churches in Lagos, but I know my pastor's church is there. Go to Saints Community. The grandma began to shake small, small. Right? Eventually, in that same question, she asked me about a particular church, which is the church she's now going to now. She now said, what about this church? What's my thought about this church? I said, oh, I like the pastor. I know him one-on-one. He's loud on the gospel. That's where she now eventually went. She will say, I affirmed it. But it's better I affirm it than for her to build close relationship with the pastor with my words. You know what I'm saying? Because she can go and tell the pastor, there's this man in Abuja that dislikes you. I don't know what you did. You say, there's this man in Abuja, I don't know if you are fighting with him. And that is that. And before you know it, I know people, if you are not mature enough, use those kind of people now become close to you. Because people use gist to establish relationship. Do you know what I'm trying to say? People validate, they cement their friendship with gist. Is how much gist can you give me? So I've learned not to say, this is where the word is. If you've been, she was in church for almost 18 months. You are telling me you don't know which church, you cannot look for church in the old lake. Sister Savvy. Sister Savvy, you see, you cannot look for church in the old Lagos. You want to implicate me, right? Everywhere you find yourself, look for a church that is close to the epistles, no matter how far it is from your physical location. Look at someone and talk about the things of Lent.